we welcome in Gene Jelks, a former player at the University of Alabama. Gene, I hope you're doing well. Welcome back to Tuscaloosa.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for helping us out. Let me get an update. What are you up to these days? What are you doing?
Well, I'm working part-time and self-employed, and I'm a Christian speaker now. Also, do Christian football camps for kids throughout the Southeast, and just trying to survive like everybody else, my friend.
Where do you make your home at?
My home now is in Birmingham.
Okay. Gene Jelks right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. Let me ask you, let's go back to 2014 a little bit. The Crimson Tide, 12-2, won the SEC, went to the college football finals there as far as the college football playoffs. Your thoughts about Alabama in 2014?
I think they had a great season, especially the players had inexperienced this year, last year. But I think overall Coach Saban and his staff did an outstanding job of getting the kids to buy into the message in the program.
Gino, I want to dive into a lot of different stories. And, you know, I was doing a lot of research, and, you know, you look at your story of redemption and playing football here at the University of Alabama. I mean, let's go prior to that. Let's go back to Gadsden, Alabama, playing in Emma Sampson there, making your way to Tuscaloosa, ending up in the National Football League, and then down a path of, you know, where you were homeless for a length of time. I want you to sort of walk us through, and I want to go back to National Signing Day for a couple of minutes. Do you remember making that commitment? We're about 4 or 5 days away from National Signing Day. Do you remember making that decision to the University of Alabama and saying, hey, that's where I want to go play football?
Yes. You know, I had a dream as a little boy. You know, playing football at Alabama was an honor, you know, big thing to do. Everybody in the country wanted to play for Coach Bryant, and unfortunately, you know, he died, I believe, in 1983 when I was being recruited, and I ended up playing for Coach Perkins, who was one of his receivers back in the 60s. And so, you know, being highly recruited by every school in the country during the 80s, I know Bobby Humphrey and Murray Hill was also a highly sought out. Us three were the top three backs in the state. I think I was number one, Bobby was two, and Murray was three. But Coach Perkins informed us that he was going to sign out and recruit all three of us. And I just decided that Alabama would be the place for me because Auburn had Bo Jackson. And I wanted to kind of stay in state, and I always wanted to play for Alabama, the Bama Nation. And got the opportunity, and, you know, my understanding made history as a freshman. I started over all the other 4 or 5 running backs that year. I know Kerry Gould went down, and Coach Perkins gave us an opportunity to win the starting job and compete with Bobby Humphrey, Murray Hill, and a couple other running backs. I got the call against Georgia, if you recall, in 1985 between the Hedges. And it was a joy to play with Mike Shula, very intelligent. Coach who's now with the
Carolina
now, Panthers coach, and Cam Newton. So you know, it was an honor to play with him, and very smart, quiet guy. But I chose Alabama for several reasons. You know, one of the winningest coaches in the country, finishing with 315 wins. Before I think a coach at Grambling broke his record, and it meant a lot to me, you know, especially having the opportunity to play for every college in the country, and that's rare. And so that was a blessing from God, in my opinion.
When I go back and, you know, I look at the Perkins era and trying to replace legendary Coach Bryant. What was that transition like coming out of that amazing decade of the 70s, the pressure on Alabama to win, and not just win, but win national championships, be very competitive. You know, double-digit wins is just an expectation here in Tuscaloosa. And, you know, I'm sure you probably know what it's like. I mean, 12-2 this year, there's some that say, you know what, we just didn't get there and win that national title. And I know that's a sort of a heavy burden sometimes to be placed on young men, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. But I think you understand that pressure coming out of that transitional period with Coach Bryant to Coach Perkins.
Oh, yeah. Alabama has a high standard tradition in their brotherhood. And, you know, Coach, it really started, you know, you remember Coach Frank Thomas?
Sure.
I wasn't born, you know, I know my history. But bringing it back up, you know, Coach Perkins, great guy, just a tremendous Christian guy, and people misunderstood him, but he has a heart. And to play for these kids this year, to try to live up to that tradition, I don't think they fell short. You know, we just expected a national championship, which they had an opportunity, and you know, we're looking forward to a better year. And a little bit more experience this year in 2015. And it's real tough, you know, for a 17-year-old kid to come straight out of high school, just leaving their parents' home, to buy into a high standard of winning tradition. It's tough.
Gene, I'd like to get into the story. And we featured Coach Curry here on a couple of different notes, and we've had him on this segment here on a throwback day, and sort of going back and helping us connect with former Alabama players and coaches. I want to go back because I think this sort of helps us connect the story. You had a grudge against Coach Curry for moving you to a certain position, and you went and you looked him up and you tried to patch that and try to clean that up a little bit as far as that. Sort of walk us through those hard feelings and what you had towards Coach Curry for moving positions.
Well, you know, at that time, you know, I was between 17 and 22-year-old man at that time. And, you know, my dream was to become Alabama first Heisman Trophy winner, and I had an opportunity. But unfortunately, we had a coaching change, and things didn't go so well. You know, my anger got the best of me with Coach Bill Curry moving my position from being the starting running back. If you recall, my first 2 years as a freshman, outrushing Bo Jackson in 1985 Iron Bowl, and Van Tiffin kicking the kick. And then my sophomore year, ended up being the leading rusher. And, you know, it was just devastating mentally for me. And I was not, at that time, you know, I was not mentally equipped to handle that particular situation that I was in at that time. But unfortunately, you know, I may have said a few things that I'm not proud of, but that's what happened. And we all make mistakes. And, you know, my thing was not toward, that controversial thing was not toward the Alabama program, sports, family, brotherhood, or myself. You know, I come from a family of Christianity, not to forgive and forget. And, you know, like I said, my anger got the best of me. And our anger sometimes gets the best of all of us. And,
sure.
And my intentions were not to... to hurt the university or our program. It was to pretty much, I had a resentment against Bill Curry. I spoke with Walter Lewis. He called me and said, D, you need to let that thing go, and you need to go patch it up with Coach. And so I found a way to get over there. I walked over there being homeless for some 8 years. I went underground. I had to leave the state and my city when that controversial thing hit because of that. My anger got the best of me, and I ended up leaving, going underground for 6 years till the story died down. And you know, the Lord brought me back, and I'm glad he did, because, you know, I found favor with God again, and I found favor with the Bama Nation and the Alabama Brotherhood and people here in my state. And so, you know, I'm just a blessed man to get a second opportunity to once played for Alabama and once was the most hated man in the state and around the country at one time. And so it's just a blessing, a supernatural thing from God, and that, you know, I'm back where I'm supposed to be. You know, I sinned against my family and shamed my family and myself as well, and then embarrassed the Bama Nation. And, you know, I just want to apologize to the Bama Nation that, you know, my heart bleeds crimson and white. And, you know, at that time, like I said, I was a young guy, and have that resentment for 19 years, which was too long. And, you know, I was longing to come back to the state of Alabama and do something that God wanted me to do. And as you know, that was to, I found my calling, like Moses was sitting out in the desert for 40 years, and I've been gone 20 years. And, you know, it was a lonely time, especially missing my home folks, you know, going to games at the University of Alabama and socializing with the A Club and the Elephant Club. And a lot of former coaches played for Coach Bryan that I, you know, took me under their wings. And so a lot of connections, couldn't find a job, had death threats. You know, my family got cut off a lot of different types of socialization. And so it was a very scary and lonely and miserable time for me. You know, not only that, and I felt lonely, you know, and distant from my family. And when you feel like that sometimes, you get to a place where you don't care and you're hurting so bad, you know, things like that. You look for something to give you for relief. You know, I even started drinking. Never drunk before, and I started trying recreational drugs and other things like that, seemed to fill, you know, that empty void that I had after Coach Perkins left Alabama and had the coaching change for Bill Curry. So it's something that I'm not proud of. And then, you know, my life started to continue spiraling down. You know, but you know what I found out in those 8 years of being homeless, you know, again, that God has made us for himself. And, you know, I knew I had a little room in my heart that, you know, no matter what I tried to fill that room with, you know, I felt it with alcohol, you know, I felt it with drugs, you know, I felt it with, tried to fill it with sports, and then I tried to fill it with the fame at that time that I had accomplished through God, and then, you know, you could fill it with money, but it, you know, it still didn't lead to that fulfillment of being back home. And so I found myself empty, and I was hungry. And so one winter night, I had a supernatural experience under a bridge. I was homeless, Bama Nation, for 8 years. I lived on the streets, held signs on highways and freeways, asking for change. You know, it was just a miserable time in my life, didn't have no way to take a shower. You know, actually, and I died in my mind and my spirit. And, you know, it was a very difficult experience for me, coming from pain to shame. And I also slept in the woods. I slept in shelters. Eating out the dumpsters, man, it was just a very, like I said, a very difficult time in my life. And there was nobody could do anything for me, you know, the Alabama family, my family. It was only myself, you know, that I could go to God, like Moses had that encounter with God at the burning bush. And, you know, this is something, you know, I went from eating well to eating out of dumpsters and washing cars on the street. You know, and I remember that shivering that night. It was on a cold winter night, walking down railroad tracks and only wearing some blue jeans and a shirt, going from wearing nice gear, you know, nice, good company and socialization and family and friends, and to nothing. And living under a bridge and living in the woods. And I found myself searching for food in a dumpster, and I found nothing to eat that night, and I went back under the bridge where I was living for those 8 years, and where I slept. And so I got on my knees in a freezing cold, 5 degrees, one a night, and, you know, I asked God. I said, you know, God, if you're real, would you send somebody to help me? And would you save me? Would you get me out of this mess that I'm in? And, you know, I've sinned against heaven and you, and I've shamed my family, so I tried. I'm tired of being sick and tired, Lord, and you know, I want to make this right. And I just, for some reason, I told him I'd give my gifts and my talents back to you, so that you can use them to bless someone else, Lord, and I wanted you to get the glory. And so 7 days later, he answered my prayer. I went to a shelter, and there were 13 people. And I tell you, this is supernatural. This is only God. You know, there was 13 people sitting there wanting to get in this shelter on this cold winter night. The wind blowing between these buildings. I had, you know, I walked, I don't know, miles and miles. Someone told me there was a shelter. And so I was blessed that night, that Monday night. And there were 13 candidates to get into this outreach program called Inspire. And out of 13 people that night they interviewed, it was on a Monday night, I was the only one that they took. So I stayed there for a year in transition, and so they could love me till I could love myself again. And then a year later from there, this pastor told me that, you know, God wanted me to step out on faith, and, you know, he was going to restore everything, and I just had to believe. And my mother told me the same thing, son, you got to believe and trust. And I didn't at that time. I still was kind of on autopilot. And so after that, you know, everything else is faith thing. You know, I tell you, you know, the Word of God, it tells us that the kind of God who's merciful like that. And I mean, you know, wow, it's crazy.
Well, this is an amazing story, and I'm caught up in it because I'm on the edge of my seat listening to you share this story. And I know that there's no way that we can cover this in 20 minutes. And at right. the end, I'm going to ask you how folks can get in touch with you, because this would make a great hour-long conversation. As you said, you were doing Christian speaking. But I also want to give credit, because it's a credit that we have a chance to talk with Carrie quite often on our program.
Good deal.
And during your darkest days, you talked about that brotherhood at the University of Alabama. You talked about playing for the Crimson Tide. You had one of those fellow teammates who, in your dark, dark days, reached out and helped. Can you talk about Kerry Goode for a couple of minutes and what he was able to do and make a difference there?
I'll sum it up. Kerry's a super Christian man, and he has a heart like Jesus, and he comes from a good family of brothers and cousins and nephews and nieces. He's one of my mentors for life, and he toughened up the people, and Coach Perkins, and that said, look, he's one of us. He's made a mistake, but he's willing to come and make it right. And to be able to make that right was that I was jogging one night in the city. It was raining so hard, and a tornado had hit in 2011, and the Lord spoke to me and said, go back quietly. And the article that they printed May 16th, I believe, 2011, it said Silent Salvation, and it blew me away. This is all supernatural from God, and you know, and I just give him the glory. The things that I'm doing with no money, you know, I'm not where I want to be in my career path, but, you know, I'm not where I used to be, homeless. I'm just coming out of being homeless and back into favor with God and people in my state, and it's just amazing, and I am committed for life. Kerry's a great, great super individual, and I just love him to death, and I love Coach Perkins. And also, to add to that, House Johnson reached out to me during those dark days, and I was afraid to call him back. And now today, as we speak, he is the international camp instructor of my Christian youth football camp. But man, I tell you, this is amazing stuff.
Oh, it's Gene, this is an amazing story, and I've got to run to break here in a couple of minutes. Can you tell me how folks can get in touch with you? If someone's out there looking, you never know who you're speaking to. You never know who you're encouraging out there that could be on that same road that you took at the University of Alabama, and then after you left here, and as you talked about, how would they get in touch with you if someone wanted to invite you to come and speak?
Well, they can go to my email. It's ejelks22@gmail.com. ejelks22@gmail.com. And just to add to that is that I'm a servant now, and I'm just a vessel and an instrument. I understand the whole thing. You know, like I said, at that time, in some ways, I thought it was all about me. But like I said, what I've learned now, and at 49 years old, that God has made us for himself.
It's an amazing story. I hope when you're in Tuscaloosa, you'll look me up. Maybe I can, you know, sit down and talk with you more and maybe feature you in studio where we can actually, you know, dive a little bit deeper. But this has been an amazing story. Thank you again, Gene, for helping me
out.
And I appreciate your time tonight.
Hey, you're welcome. May I add that, you know, next month, God has birthed the true story of the book Above Ground will be out. So I ask people to go out, and we didn't have time to go into all details, but please go out and buy this book. This is amazing, a book about restoration. It's not all about me. There's other people's the target list in the country, and there's a lot of supernatural stories, encounters I've had with God, and this stuff is real and confirmation. And so it'll be out soon. I would love to be back on your show when the book drops next month.
I would love it. You've got my number. If I can help in any way, I'd love to be able to feature you again and talk a little bit in-depth about the book. I mean, it'd be my honor to talk with you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you sharing your story.
Thanks for having me on the show. And for me, all the glory belongs to God. And roll tide.